Torah Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Okay, open your Bibles, please, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we will concentrate this morning in verses 25 to the end of the chapter, because our culture where we live in has dragged us in directions that I don't think we want to go. We focus so much on things that we don't have, and we miss all the things that we do have that's right in front of us. We want the car that the neighbor has, right? I remember I was struggling with a car, and the neighbor drove in a really nice red Corvette at home. And I saw this lady and said, man, I wish in place for her to turn that way, she would have turned into my parking lot, right? And says, this is for you. You're ministering, so this is for you. We always like what others has. And for example, the grass of your neighbors is greener than yours, most likely, if you have any grass left. And so we see things like that, and we like what we see from others. And so that, in some sense, concerns us, because we would like to have those things too. But in that process of looking for things that we don't have, we're not enjoying the things that we do have. And God says in His Word that we need to concentrate and appreciate those things that we have. Look with me in this passage in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talking to His disciples, and He said this: therefore, I tell you, do not what? Worry about yourself. What you eat, what you drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the earth. They do not sow or reap or store away in a barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you much more valuable than thee? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that if we open our eyes, if we open our heart and appreciate what you have for us, we will live a life with gratitude. This morning, Lord, I ask you that you will reveal to us, each one of us, in the way that we are in our home, in our families, the things that we have to refocus on and appreciate. We thank you, Lord, because we can trust in you for your provision for all our needs. We thank you because you're good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible tells us here that we do not need to worry for anything, but trust God that He will provide all our needs. And sometimes when we see this passage, this is kind of like a simple passage, let's say, but so difficult to do it or to follow through with it in our lives. Why? Because our focus is the problem. We don't focus on the things that God has provided us with. We simply focus on the things that we don't have. And most likely, the things that we don't have is so great, so good, because we are looking at it with other people. We don't know all the things they go through to get what they have. The Bible says, Jesus telling his disciples, do not worry about your life. Once we trust God with our lives, it is in a good hand. Do you know that? Because when we live our lives focusing on the things that is around us, we're missing the biggest point and the biggest thing in our lives, which is God himself to our disposal 24/7 for our good. The first thing, and it repeats this several times in this passage, in verse 27, for example, it says like this: can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And it says in verse 28, and why do you worry about clothing? So verse after verse, it will tell us, do not worry. So do you think, what's the message that God has for us? Kind of like simple, right? But let me ask you a simple question. How many of you are concerned for something during this week? We all do. If you're a human being, you're concerned. I'm concerned for Dallas Cowboys tonight. It's my team. I love him, but I'm concerned. Do you about your team? Okay. I forgot where I am, so I'm okay. But people worry for things that actually we cannot control. You apply for a job, and you're waiting for the answer to come through. And are you concerned? Yes, because I want this. You talk to the girl, and finally, after years of looking at her at church, and you finally told her, I like you, and you're waiting for the answer. Are you concerned? You better be. Christmas, birthdays are coming up. You do not have enough to buy nothing. Let me tell you a secret I did in my house. Christmas time, everybody goes for shopping, right? Buy stuff for crazy. I mean, everybody has to have. A friend of mine just asked me a couple days ago, what is, he just got married, has his house, and he asked me, what should I have, when should I start decorating my house for Christmas? And I said, I don't decorate my house for Christmas. I said, oops. Where should I? I said, okay, well, you do whatever you want when you want. Put your trees and all the gifts and all those things. But I told my girls, my daughters, always since they were young, Christmas is Jesus' birthday, not yours. So that means I do not need to buy you any gifts, because it's not your birthday. When is your birthday? Then we will see if we have money then. So we never had Christmas celebration with gifts and things like that, because it's a pressure I cannot afford. No, seriously. Being a missionary with the limited resource we have, I cannot build that expectation in someone that every year in Christmas I need to give them something because I can't afford it. And so we did that. This January 5th is my birthday. If you didn't know, just mark it on your calendar. It's my birthday, and my daughters wanted to do something good for me because I turned 50. Thank you. I look 25, but... So they said that this is a gift. We give it to you only once every 50 years. The next one is coming. When you're 100. So built up expectation is the problem, that then we are concerned, we worry for things that we can't control. do the things that you can work on. It says in there in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. And then in verse 27, can any of you, just by worrying, concern for things, would add to your life? You can. So don't do that. It's not smart. And then it gave us the two directions in things that we are more concerned of. I think it gave food and then clothing. Do we have enough to wear? Do you? The problem is now is not how much you have to wear, it's where you put it, because the closet is full. That's our biggest concern nowadays. And so we need to do an inventory, not to what we're going to wear. Some of you ladies this morning was standing there, and today what now? I will confess something to you guys, okay? I will. Last night we came and my wife ironed my clothes and put it there. And I said, something told me, Randolph, you wear the same thing last time you were preaching here. So you know what I did? No, I went to confirm it first, before. So I went on the website, go back in the archive, check the sermon, and I said, you see? And I told her, my wife was asleep already. She said, I wear the same thing. So I changed my shirt today, okay? So you guys won't. But none of you knew and won't care either. But I did, so I wore it too. We all do. So we have a lot. God has provided us with a lot of things, and we need to enjoy it and say, be thankful to God for what he has provided for us. What are the options for you to eat this afternoon? Plenty. Most of you, I don't see anyone starving or in condition that you will say, you have to eat, please. The other side is more true, right? Slow down a little bit. Because we eat a lot. We have plenty to eat. But how many of you, not because you're going through a diet or anything, it's because you did not have anything to eat in your life, the span of your whole life, you were one day without anything to eat. And you wanted to eat, but there's nothing to eat. Any of you. Okay? That's reality of life. Some of us went through that. I remember growing up as a boy, my mom, we were three brothers, single mom. We did not have anything to eat. I remember that. But you know, I promised God, God, I'm going to do my effort. As soon as I get married, build a family, my kids will never go to bed without eating. And thanks God, I accomplished that. Thanks to God, because he is the one that provides for us all the time. And then it says here, just for the comparisons, just for us to refocus on the reality of life. Verse 26, it says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store. They don't have HEB, or you don't have HEB here, right? Walmarts, grocery stores, where they go. Have you seen one? Specific for birds? No. But God provides for them all every day. And God says, if he can provide, if he is God, Almighty can provide for birds, how much can he provide for us? Do you trust him? Hello? It's not simple. It may be simple to say, but go to work tomorrow and they say you're fired, and you will see how concerned you become really fast. Because then you know your trust were not in God, your trust were in the checks that you're getting from that job. But if my trust is in God, no matter if I have or don't have, I'm not saying to being responsible, but if you have or not, my trust is in the Lord. He is the one that provides for us all the time. And it says here that those birds don't have nothing, but I provide for them. And he said, verse 28, and why do you worry about clothing? See the flowers of the field, how they grow. And it says in verse 29, even Solomon, with all his splendor, all the things that he had, he couldn't match up with them. And those flowers is today, and then tomorrow they're gone. But God is the one in control of every single thing. When people says, I live by faith, what do you think that means? Faith in what? Faith in who? Or faith in how much? Because sometimes our faith is based on what we have, and that's not faith. Faith is trusting in something you don't have, that God will provide, and because He is the one that provides for me, I can be at rest, at ease, because I know He will take care of me. This morning when my daughter was flying back to home, I would say, she's leaving from my house, flying back to her house, which is school. Do you understand it? Okay, she doesn't live in my house, she's going back home. And I checked her bank account and she had $10. And she didn't say nothing. I know she needed to get to the airport, get the Uber to the pastor's house where her car is to pick it up. But she didn't tell me, hey, Dad, I need money or something. But I was concerned for her. So I didn't ask her. I put $50 on her account. And then I told her, she said, oh, thank you, because now I have to eat in Dallas and pay my Uber to go pick up my car. And I did it. And then afterwards I said, man, how she would do that then if she didn't have money? But she didn't say, I need it. If it was her other sister, a different story. Okay, that's different. But she, I think for sure she think and she knows that that will provide for me, will help me. She got to college. I don't pay a dime for her to go to school because she plays soccer. They pay everything for her. So, can I give her $50? Oh, yeah. I'm happy to give her $50 than $50,000 that I had to pay for someone else. But, but if we as human beings take care of our children, how much more our Father in heaven? Will He provide for you? Will you be able to trust in Him as so much that you're not concerned for nothing? Just focus on, I need to do what I need to do. God will provide for me. The question is, what provision means for you? Because sometimes provision for some of us is to have $15,000 every week. Then I have everything I need. But is that what you really need? I was in Mexico with my daughter. They came. We live right close to the border with Mexico. So we went to a doctor for her to check her glasses and things like that. And after that, she said, Dad, please, can we eat some Mexican food from Mexico? I said, of course. not Taco Bell, but real Mexican food. So we went to this restaurant, and we were sitting and eat, and when we finished, we all ate, and we were satisfied. Actually, we were not satisfied. We were still starving, but we had enough, okay? And so the girl came, and it was like $20, and we got some change back. And I turned around and said to my daughter, you know how much is this in Mexico? It's like 350 pesos, which is a lot of money for a lot of people. If you think someone, their weekly salary is 1,000 pesos, you can't buy food for 350 in one sit. That's not possible. So what you and I just ate here, a lot of people that live here can't do that. You say, wow, Dad, I didn't think about that. I say, yes. The question is, but there's still people that live with that. I'm not saying that you need to be stingy or you need to be living in poverty to accomplish God's work for you. No, but God has a specific plan for each one of us, and that is what he wants for you. If it's $15 million, go ahead, fine. If it's $50, fine. But do you know what God wants exactly for you? Let's say money-wise. Do we need to work and continue improving our lifestyle? Perfect, no problem. But I know where I can be satisfied. Where is the standard where I can be okay with it and not having one dime more and I'm still okay, even though my neighbor can have a lot more than me? Two of my daughters are making a lot more than I make every month. One is 24 and the other one is 25. I can't believe it. But that's reality. And what they're making is not enough for them as single girls. That worries me. Okay? So we need to know what is enough for you. And once you know what is enough for you, when you know what God wants for you, you can live satisfied for what you have and not be concerned for nothing you see around you. Because you know, this is what God has built me for, and this is what I need, and that's fine. Otherwise, you live with other people's budget. You know how you live that? Live in the category that you shouldn't be. You should be lower than that. Or maybe higher than that, but you live in, most of the time we live out of our means. We live, I sit sometimes with couples and just make a budget. Maybe a few months ago, we sit with a couple. Their problem was money. They couldn't manage money. And I told them, how much money you guys made? None of them knew how much the other one was making. So that was revealing to each other. They didn't know. So they were making close to $7,000 a month. And so when I line up everything for them, they were wasting close to $600 a week eating out. So when we put all those money together, they say, whoa, this is impossible. I said, now you can see it because it's in front of you. Help them set up a schedule, a budget. Call me a few months later. We have more money than we ever thought we had. They pay off a lot of credit cards and pay off a lot of things because now they are managing the money they have. I think this is the same thing God is telling us here. Are you managing what I have given you properly? Do you know exactly what you have? What are the capacity that God has given you? What is the talents that God has given you? Why God has put you where you are? Are you using those to the max? And then you can live a life that glorifies him and satisfy. Do not worry. rest in Him. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear. And I will say also here what you drive. Don't worry. God has the right car for you at the right time, and it's okay. When my daughter told, when she turned 17, the little one, her birthday is the time for gifts, right? It's not Jesus' birthday, now it's her birthday, July 18, I gave her a job application. I told her, you're 17, you're in high school, almost going to college, you probably will like a car when you go to college, yeah? Yes, that. And you will buy it for me. Yes, I will. With your money. So let's start saving. So I hate you, Dad. You're the worst dad ever. Anyway, she go to work anyway. Work. And by the time this year, in July, I flew to Maryland, where I bought a car, and she flew also up there, and we drove it together. Her car. She paid for it. $3,500. And now she is grateful that this is my car. I say, yes. I will pay the insurance for you. And you put the gas in it. And things there. But she appreciates it now because it's hers. She's living within her means. A couple days ago, she sent me a picture of a Corvette. She said, Dad, I would like this car. I said, great. Are you going to sell the one you have to get that? Yes, but it won't be enough. I said, okay, that means you have to work a little bit more then, because you're not there yet. Live with the things that you have, and you will enjoy it, because you work for it. Handouts, it's horrible, because you don't appreciate it. Work for it. Work hard for it. And once you have it, you can enjoy it. I have a car, and I can't enjoy it yet. You know why? This is not mine, it's the bank's. You have a house, you probably can't enjoy it at the max that you want, because it's still not yours, it's still the bank's. Once you're free, then you can enjoy the things that you have. And then, the Bible says in verse 33, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It shows us first that we don't need to worry, that we have to live within our means. He makes a comparison so we can see the birds and the flowers, how they are. But now, first thing first. In verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles on its own. So, seek first the kingdom of God. In order for us to be satisfied for what we have, it's our focus need to change. If my focus is on this earth, the things that are here, and they're not in my reach, then I'm concerned. Yes, worry, because you can't get them. But if I look at God for the source of my provision, the source of my strength, the source of everything I need, and then the things I have, I enjoy them because God had provided those to me, I live a life and I'm okay with everything that's around me. But if my focus is not on God, then I'm in trouble. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Look at God. If He is your Savior, if He is your God, He is the source of your provision also. God is good to us. He will never give us things that we can't handle. He never put us in a situation that we can go by and live through this process. He loves us, He cares for us, and He is always available for us. This morning I want to ask you a few questions to reflect. Is God really the only source of satisfaction that you need? Is God all you need? God plus you enough? Is that the math? Oh, no. You don't know. I need God plus a husband, then it's enough. God plus a wife, then it's enough. God plus children, then it's enough. But you don't need nothing else than God. You know it, I know it. But the society that we live in is teaching, is bombarding us with a lot of things every day that we lost our focus to where we need to really be focusing on. I need God. The Bible says without God you can do nothing. So that's all I need actually. If God is the only thing I need, will He be able to provide all the things I need? Good question. I'm glad that you asked that, because if He is almighty, if He the owner of everything, He created everything, I think He has a thing or two that He can provide to me. I'm not sure. But if He owns everything, do you think you can have something from Him? He is your dad. My daughter, we're low on her account. I put $50 for her. I need to trust God for that $50 so I can pass it. But probably God will give me more than $50 so I can have for me and give to her. And then her, in her case, she have enough money to do whatever. Do you understand? That's how God works. He always will provide for us enough for what we need. You have to believe that and trust Him for that. Can I trust God first? Or God can be as the backup plan for my life, for whatever need I have? I go to the bank first, ask them for money, and when they told me my credit didn't pass, then I go to God. God, fix my credit score, please. I tell my daughters, nowadays I change my way of thinking. If they come with a guy, the guy like them, I don't care his name or whatever, I will ask this guy, what is your credit score? If he is in the 30s, I think he needs to go for another walk. Because when my daughters were young, I start help them build their credit score, because it's very important in order for them to do a lot of things in life. But if you trust God, God's credit score is perfect. He always has enough to give us, but He will never give us more than we need. Our biggest problem is because our expectation is in a higher level. When God has provided me 100% of what He wants me to have, I'm still not satisfied because I'm thinking it should be up here. And that's our biggest problem. I would challenge you guys for today and the days in front of you. Trust in God. Not for what you don't have. trust him and believe that what he gave you is exactly what you need. God, I do not like this husband that you gave me. And God will say, I don't like him either, but that's all you got. I don't like this car. I don't like this house. I don't like those things that you give me. I don't like this body that you give me. I don't like my hair or whatever. That's all God has given you. And when I see that he is the one that gave me what I have, can I be satisfied? And say, God, thank you. You know, I don't like all this because my focus has been wandering. Let me refocus back, and then I will appreciate who you are and what have you given to me. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first God. Remember who he is and trust in him for all that you are and what you have. And this morning, if you have been living, focusing elsewhere, and not appreciating and focusing on what God has given you right here.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.